What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Surfing the Stream, where every week we are on a quest to find out what is the greatest movie of all time. I am Matt Primo, joined by Josh Primo.
What's up, bitches?
This week, we're doing, I mean, I thought it was a different kind of movie for Josh, more so than me. Very, very interested in hearing his thoughts for this particular movie. We are reviewing Alice Darling. You can find this on Stars as of right now. Super excited to talk about this movie, excuse me. But before we jump into that, if you like what we're doing here and you want to consider supporting us, go to patreon.com/2game. Supporting us there gets you access to our Discord, and that's how you become creator/producer of all of our content. All the links to everything that we have is down below, social media, our merch, as well as the Patreon, all down below. Leave us a comment, like, subscribe, do all that bullshit. Really helps us out, and we would really, really appreciate it. But enough of that. Let's go ahead and jump into this review. Josh and I kind of talked about this just a few minutes ago. Don't feel like this is going to be long of an episode, because there's not a... Regardless of what you think about the movie, there's not a ton here to really discuss. So... prepare for a little bit shorter of an episode this week, but let's go ahead and jump into it. The plot: Alice Darling, a young woman trapped in an abusive relationship, becomes the unwitting participant in an intervention staged by her two closest friends. Director is Mary Nighy. Probably saying that wrong. Go fuck yourself. It has an unknown budget, and it grossed worldwide a whopping $165,000, give or take. It stars that Anna hurts. Kendrick. Now, I'm going to mispronounce all of these names. So I'm just going to go ahead and just set the table beforehand. Just go ahead and fuck yourself in advance, okay? Canihito? Canitio? I don't know. Horn? Charlie Carrick? And Wonmi Mozalev? Mozaklev? I don't know. Go fuck yourself. Like, bro, we gotta do a better job of picking some movies with some more pronounceable names, all right?
Jane Smith.
That's what I'm talking about. It has a runtime of 1 hour and 29 minutes, and it was released January 20th, 2023. So this will effectively be in the running for top 10 considerations or the movie awards at the very end of the year. Unfortunately, there are not really any fun facts. The, I guess, best fun fact, if you want to consider it one, is the fact that Anna Kendrick was allegedly in a relationship kind of like this, and this movie kind of helped her get over all that shit. So I guess explains a lot of how she was able to kind of tap into those emotions and whatnot throughout the movie. But before we jump into what we actually think about the movie, I want to set expectations, okay? Because I think expectations really, really affects how you view and what your opinion is of a movie. When Josh put this up, he didn't put it up for vote. I voted for a genre, and this just so happened to be it. I'm very, very surprised this was even ever a consideration from you. Ever. Like, I wanted to tell you, like, you're not going to like this, bro. Like, this is not your type of movie, typically. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are right now, but this is not your type of movie. You may want to redraw that, but I was like, you know what? That's going to be an interesting review, and I kind of want to see it, so go fuck him.
it was the whole reason I put it in there, because it was like something I would never watch normally. So I was interested to see. I like Anna Kendrick. I think she's a good actor, and I actually think she's a better singer than she is actor, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, she has that, what is it called? Like, I want to say Two Girls, One Cup, but that's not what it's fucking called, okay? But
Pitch Perfect. You know,
the little cup song.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it. Yeah.
I will judge you if you know the name of it.
Here, dick.
So what were your expectations going into this movie?
I was mixed, man. I was like, this is not really my kind of movie, but you know, it's getting higher reviews than what I would have expected since I've never heard of it. So I actually came into this movie pretty open-minded, considering the type of movie it is versus what I typically watch.
I kind of expected I expected a more like slow, methodical style of movie. I knew it wasn't going to be some extravagant, suspenseful thriller or anything like that. I mean, I knew that. I expected some good acting. But if you read some of the plot descriptions on like IMDb or Letterboxd or whatever, it talks about like this vengeful boyfriend and this like explosive finale. And I'm like, the fuck is gonna happen in the finale, man? All right, I'm down for it. So I kind of expected like some type of like crazy ending. And I wouldn't go so far as saying it's crazy whatsoever. It kind of just fits more in line with the rest of the movie. But
Yeah.
let's go ahead and jump into it, sir. Tell me how much you dislike this movie.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I
All
think
right.
overall it is a good film. It is not a film I would usually watch, or would I watch this again? No. But I think the story behind this is pretty incredible, and I felt like the movie did drag in areas, and but I think the acting by Anna Kendrick was freaking phenomenal. And I did think that Simon played a good character. And I liked Wumi, which was Sophia the Black Chick, but I did not like Tess. I don't think Tess fit into the story very well. And I think they may have missed some chances to get us more invested into Alice and Simon's relationship, and they kind of just missed it.
I think those are valid points. I think those are some decent points right there. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I this has been my watch list for a very long time. I saw it. I think it was on Amazon Prime at one point before it went to Stars, or maybe I was on your Amazon Prime and I just saw it there because it was on Stars or whatever. I don't know, but it's been on my watch list for a long time, and I was like, ooh, Anna Kendrick in kind of a more drama. Character style movie with abuse and whatnot. I was like, there can be a lot of emotions there. It could be some great acting. I'm super interested in that. And it's just, it's just one of those movies like you'll want to watch it, but when you get ready time to watch it, it's kind of like, I'll go watch something else. It's kind of like it's always been that for me throughout the course of the year. But I'm really glad
Yeah.
that we reviewed this and I actually gave it the chance because I do really enjoy this movie. But it's not perfect. I think what Josh said in the fact that it does drag in spots, especially towards the middle, it's kind of like they ran out of things to say in terms of her relationship with her friends. Personally, I think they could have developed that a lot better in the middle of the movie. The plot says they staged an intervention. I don't think that's even what happened. I think that's kind of, I wouldn't say false advertisement, but that's not what happened.
No, it was no. I don't believe so. I think it was more of
They just fucking found
she,
out when they were at the when they were at the cottage.
yeah, they she hit her breaking point and she broke down to them, and I think that was it.
But even then, it's not like they sat there and said, "Hey, you're not gonna fucking go back to him or anything like that." It's just like they kind of just sat there and let her vent and cry and be emotional about it. And so I don't know. I wouldn't call it an intervention per se myself.
I would like to know why is it the last like five movies we've reviewed has so much time spent watching people run and walk.
Fucking no, man.
I'm telling you, that's like five in a
There was a good bit of one. I didn't
row,
pick up on it until you said something. Like, guys, can we go like swimming or something? Can we change up a little bit?
Can we do a jump rope contest? I mean, give me something better.
Jump rope contest. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, but like Josh said, I just think they missed the mark on some things. But Anna Kendrick put on a hell of a performance. As far as Tess and Sophie, I thought some of the stuff in the movie was a little weird. I thought the whole thing about the missing girl was weird. I don't know how that really played into the overall story.
I didn't either.
Unless you're trying to connect with her being lost and Anna Kendrick trying to find someone, like Anna Kendrick is also lost, so she kind of relates to it. I don't know. I don't know if that's like the connection that they were trying to make there. That's the only thing that I can think of.
What was the connection with so much time spent on the damn lipstick?
I don't really know. I don't really know. They didn't really explain that very well in the movie. I guess she was thinking that it was the missing girl's lipstick or chapstick or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know if that means like she found herself. Like it's just it's symbolic for that. It's weird. I don't 100% know why they decided to go that route for this movie.
I think they should have explored more of controlling aspects of this boyfriend. I mean, really, all we learn from the boyfriend are flashback sequences. And while they did portray a lot of what was going on, I think it could have dove deeper into it.
I agree. At the very beginning of the movie, when he was like talking to her and whatnot, and she going to the bathroom, fix her hair, put on her makeup and whatnot, and he would just talk to her, I'm like, now, don't go in the comments and fucking castrate me for fucking saying this, okay? I'm not saying I agree with this or anything like that. I'm not saying he's a good guy. But I'm saying, you say an abusive relationship, but the first like 10, 15 minutes of the movie, you're like, I mean, is he really that bad? I mean, I don't really know what he's doing right now. Like, I guess I expected more of an abusive relationship in terms of physical.
Yeah, I think it was all mental, but while we're talking about things that don't make sense, is the ending sex scene. I still am confused on that one.
Yeah, it was like she was moaning / crying, but then
they're clothed.
They had clothes on. That dude had a set of blue balls like a motherfucker, I bet. But fuck him, you know?
But then it was like she reached peak. And then she was like ashamed. I was so confused on that scene.
It was a little strange. And then he's like, we're leaving very early in the morning. I was like, oh, bruh. Like, you're going to have to fucking get out of that situation because he is going to fuck you up when you get home.
Yeah. And, you know, it built so much tension with him showing up at the cottage. And I don't think that tension paid off.
No, and it goes back to the plots that I kind of ran, the synopsis that I kind of read about a vengeful, he goes on a vengeance spree or some shit like that. And I'm like, okay, that makes it seem like he's about to go in there and start just punching people left and right. But that's not what happened whatsoever. But I do like the fact that he kind of showed who he truly was in front of them.
Yeah,
like in front of the friends. I do like that aspect of it, and it wasn't just like, okay, the friends don't really see it. No, they see firsthand what's going on between them two, and I don't know. I'm a little iffy on that whole last act of where he shows up and, you know, old Tess is like, you trying to give us mad cow disease? I was like, but I want to bring that up because throughout the entire movie, Sophie is the reserved one. She's the nurturing one. She's the, hey, it's going to be okay. Hey, it's, you know, let's not fight and do all this bullshit, right? She's the nurturing one. Tess is the middle fingers in the air. Nah, fuck you, bitch. The whole fucking time, right? And she's very argumentative and she's drawn to conflict and whatnot with Alice. And then you get to the very end where he's driving off and it's Sophie that is breaking the window and she's telling the dude to go fuck himself. And it's Tess who is not really being the aggressive one in that case. I love that flip flop of both of those characters in that situation. And I thought it was great. I thought it was good little character arc change for the end. And if you've noticed, Alice never really ever steps up to him or stands up to him until the very end when she says no, but she looks at him, says no, and then she turns around the entire time. Like she's still afraid of him, even though she said no. Like she's afraid of what he's going to do, and she just never faces him. While you have the two friends who are finally taking up for her and whatnot. So would I have preferred them to be a little bit more, I guess, passive aggressive and whatnot a little bit before that? Sure. But I do think the ending is good. It could have been better, I think.
I can't argue with none of that, man. I think that's a valid point. So, you know, I did enjoy the flipping of the character, the arch there, but I don't know. It felt like we got robbed on the ending. It didn't feel like it was what it should have been.
It felt like there's no climax. Shout out.
I'm not even touching that one.
It felt like he was just like, fuck this shit, and he just drove off. I'm like, is that it?
But would that be the personality? I don't think it would be. I think he would manipulate her against her friends more.
But if you also think about it, you know, people like that, guys like that, who try to dominate girls, females, whatever, they do it out of a place of like insecurity and whatnot. And they're kind of just weak in general, and they try to do that to make themselves feel more powerful. Well, as soon as everybody steps up to him, he kind of cowers and he's just like, nah, fuck this. And he just drives off like a little bitch, you know? So I guess, yeah, if you look at it from that perspective, it kind of is what an ending should be, not necessarily what we wanted it to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's valid. I mean, we beat people like that all the time that are, they'll, you know, flap their mouth, and then you stand up to them and be like, hey man, check your shit, and they're like, oh, this guy is not gonna sit there and listen to my bullshit.
He's not one to be trifled with.
This guy said, don't mushroom me.
So while we're talking about the ending, because the ending is very, there's lots of symbolism and a lot of what's going on towards the end. Like when she goes underneath the water and then she rises, it's kind of like that's the changing of the guard. That's like her kind of cleansing herself of the abuse and that part of her life and whatnot. But with that being said, they drive off, right? They leave the two friends there. They drive down the road. How the fuck did Sophie grab that mall and get down the fucking road that fucking quick?
Yeah, I felt like it. I don't know. I mean, they had to pause because of all the bicyclists riding.
But she wasn't short of breath or nothing like that.
I mean, I
dude, she fucking hauled ass.
She did. I felt like that could have probably have been played out toward closer to the house, like getting in the car to get ready to leave.
Yes.
I think that would have made more sense.
So I do love how they kind of played with your expectations in that moment. Because when she gets in the car, you're like, oh, fuck, dude, they're going to go back to the apartment or whatever. And he is legitimately, he's gonna fucking kill this girl. And maybe the friends show up and protect him. And that's where I was thinking, like, the vengeful kind of ending of the movie was going to happen. That's what I was thinking anyways. And then she breaks the window and you're like, oh, fuck, man. All right. So I do like how they kind of played with your expectations with that particular scene.
But, you know, I felt like I should have hated Simon 10 times more than I should have than they made the character to be. You know, we should have hated this guy. I felt like they were like, you know, we're going to tackle this issue that nobody tackles, but we're just going to graze it. I mean, why not full force into it and be like, F that guy.
It was subtle. A lot of the signs are very subtle in terms of what an abusive relationship is. So I will agree with that. I think we should have got a little bit more that kind of, I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. The dude was a fucking dick in the movie and he's not a fucking good guy at all. Okay. But we need, and Josh has never seen Game of Thrones, we need to hate him like Joffrey. We need to hate him like some of the best villains ever in like TV or movies. You really need to despise him. And I mean, you hate him, but you don't like loathe him, you know, entirely. So I think they could have done a little bit better job with that. It was more subtle signs of that abusive relationship, and it not really through what he is or isn't doing at that point. You know, you're looking more, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not really showing how he's abusing her. It's more of how the abuse has affected her and what her mental state is and what she has gone through more so than anything. And maybe that's what they're touching on with this movie, is how that abuse relates to her or how she's dealing with it, not necessarily what the abuse is. Does that make sense?
I got you.
Let's see here.
I mean, it's a deep movie, so I think there's definitely interpretation differences between. I think it'd be a totally different review if we had a female in here reviewing it with us.
Yeah, you know, I thought about doing that after we watched it, but I was like, the scheduling is going to be fucked up there. So I think this definitely deserved a female voice in the
review. I think it'd bring it full circle. I really would.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I guarantee you they would have better insights on the type of guy like that. Because, you know, I'm sure every girl's come across that guy when they're dating.
Hey, guys are dicks. Plain and simple. I mean, one last thing that I want to kind of touch on, and that is...
Shout out.
It's the portion of the movie where I think Anna Kendrick really fucking knocks it out of the park, and that's the moment she loses the earrings in the water and she legitimately, no pun intended, goes off the deep end.
Yeah. I had to say that's probably the most powerful scene when you mentioned that, I think it was. Yeah.
Because she starts freaking out because she knows he's not going to be happy about it. And I mean, he's already pissed off that she's away and at this cottage without, you know, lying and not telling him about it. Now she's lost his earrings. So she's freaking the fuck out. She's freaking out on Tess. And then she gets back to the shore and she's breathing fast. She's panicking. She's just ridden with anxiety. And you can tell a lot of different emotions in that scene, you know, sadness. There's pain. There's anxiety. Just so many different emotions that are coming from Anna Kendrick in this one scene. And I think, personally, out of the movies that I have seen, I think this is some of the best acting that she has ever done, bar none. Like, I don't think it's even close. But in terms of, like, scenes that we have watched and reviewed on this podcast, I would put that scene up there with any of the other powerful scenes that we've seen or reviewed. I thought the acting was very, very, very well done in those scenes. And you could just feel the emotion coming off for her. And that's what makes a good actor. I've said it before. The acting is not necessarily what they're saying. It's what they're doing or showing you. And she did all those in that one particular scene.
I'm trying to think of what movie we had talked about that there was so much acting in that one scene with no lines being said. I can't remember what show that was, and I felt like it was Sopranos. I felt like it was one of the episodes of Sopranos.
It probably
but I'm not sure. Because we were like, for nobody to have said nothing, that was a hell of a scene. So I agree with you on that.
And once that scene happens, it's almost kind of like up to that point, she is reserved. She's not really speaking a whole lot to her friends. She's not really enjoying herself. But it's kind of like that was like if you're watching this and you just think, you've ever had like those moments where you're just so fucking frustrated. And I don't know, you cry or you fucking scream or something. You let out some emotion, and then that's how you feel better afterwards. It's kind of like that in movie form. And she did a hell of a job because she's reserved, she's not talking, and she's kind of fighting with Tess the entire time. And as soon as that happens, it's almost kind of like she feels free from it in a way. And that's
Yeah.
kind of when her character starts improving. Over the course of the back half of the movie is after that scene. And as soon as he shows back up, it's like she goes whoop right back down to fucking gutter. So I've been thinking about the score. And the more I talk about this movie, the more I like it. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say that there are some issues with it in terms of the pacing, especially in the middle of the movie. I don't know if they knew what they were trying to, or it, maybe not necessarily knew what they were trying to connect with. It's just, I don't know if they went about it the right way. And that was connecting the missing girl with the overall story. And then at some point, it's just like things are just happening and it's not really furthering the plot whatsoever. It's just scenes, essentially, with her and her friends. And I don't think it really improves her character, develops that character, or the characters in general. So I'm gonna give it 3.5. I think it's a pretty damn good movie. And it's totally based on whether you like these types of movies, on whether I would recommend it to you. If I had watched this movie without doing the review, if I'd watched this movie, I would 100% not recommend this to Josh. Like, I
No.
just know for a fact this like would not be his typical movie that he would enjoy. But if you like great acting, if you like powerful emotional scenes, if you're a female and you want a fucking tearjerker, I'm sure this will be right up your alley. So yeah, I give it 3.5 stars. This is definitely going to be in contention for the top 10 at the end of the year, maybe even an award or two. I don't know. So what do you think, Josh?
Man, I'm kind of speechless because I almost agree with you 100%, and I give it a 3.5 for pretty much the same reasons. And I find it amazing that we're so, I don't know, like on the same wavelength on this movie. And usually, we never are. We never agree. I mean, I believe this is the first time in 3 years we've agreed on the problems and the successes of the movie.
We didn't argue at all. This is easy.
I mean, I felt like we cheated the listeners. There's no arguments today.
Right? They're like, what the? I didn't come here for y'all to fucking agree on everything.
Exactly.
False advertisement.
Because usually we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum on everything. But I can't fault anything you said. I mean, it's exactly the way I feel on it.
Yeah, man. I was surprised. I watched it last night at work, and I was just surprised with like how invested I became into the movie. Honestly, I thought I was gonna like it. I didn't think I was gonna like it as much as I did, if I'm gonna be completely honest.
Yeah, after I'd watched it a couple of days before you, and I was like, I'm Matt likes this dialogue heavy stuff, so I was curious to what you would thought of it, and it really surprises me that we're so in line on our thoughts on this movie.
Hey, that just means we're right.
I mean, I'm always right.
Are
Eh.
you? You sure about
Roll Tide.
that? Roll
No,
Tide. I wonder if they're losing right now. Roll Tide.
I hope so.
Well, But guys, that is going to be it from us. Leave us a comment down below, whether you have seen this movie, you want to see it, your opinions, thoughts, whatever the case is. Like, subscribe, do all that bullshit. And again, all the links down below as well. And we would love your support. And next week, we are reviewing The Drop with Tom Hardy and James Gandolfini. I swear to God, this is a sequel to The Sopranos. If I'm going based off what the trailer is, this is a sequel to The Sopranos. And you can bet your ass we are going to be talking about that for that review. So I'm pretty excited about this movie. Been wanting to watch it for a long time.
I hadn't watched the trailer yet, but I'm gonna watch it before I watch the movie, though, for sure.
Yeah, watch it when you get off of here, and let me know if you think it's because he talks about being in position of power. You know, people respected me before, and I'm like,
oh hell,
it sounds like The Sopranos, and he just went into hiding or something.
Hell,
maybe it was his family got killed. I don't know. Little plot twist.
Plot twist. Oh.
Yeah, super excited to watch that movie. Y'all go check it out before we do the review. And we will catch y'all next week on another episode. Laters.
Later.